Good morning. Beautiful day out there. Hopefully you can enjoy it. Absolutely beautiful. I just did the transfer with Tim, right? We transfer the tran. I can't use the word transition, but we use the transfer, right? Now I'm here behind the microphone, and I was delighted to see I already had a caller waiting for me. Now, I'm happy to have this caller because I'm a great admirer of my first caller to the program. And you know, I should be so lucky, I think, to have my day always start this way. Sometimes I got to come in and start from scratch, but I am gifted, greeted, happy to acknowledge my first caller, Mike Jansen. Good morning, Mike. Make it great.
Okay. Last night there was a meeting on arbitration for the contract for the police department. Now, the original arbitrator recused himself. So there's a new arbitrator, and he wasn't too happy last night. From what I understand, I wasn't there, but the arbitrator offered the police 2-2-2. Do you know what that means?
Explain it, Mike.
Well, I'm not sure what it means. I think it's
It's a three-year contract. It's 2%. 2-2-2 is 2% raise every year for 3 years.
Until it gets to 6%, yeah. Yeah, a total of 6%. That's what my take was, yeah. And it was shot down by the police department. Now, I'm all for the police. But under the circumstances, I think that's the best that this arbitrator is going to give them. Because of the problems. And now, we have an inspector general, am I correct?
Yes.
And he'll be coming to New Bedford with the auditor, I think. The city council, or one of the members of the city council, I think Brian Gomes, and I'm not sure if the rest of the city council went along with it.
I believe it was unanimous.
Yeah, of course. It should have been unanimous. So the inspector general will be here to find out why we have a $32 million deficit and where a lot of this money went to. Now, they say $32 million, but it's really $87 million, and I'll explain to you why. Because the Department of Revenue maintains that every city and town in the state of Massachusetts have 10% of their operating budget held in an unreserved balance fund, or as most people refer to it, as a rainy day account. But it's really an unreserved balance fund. Now, that means New Bedford's supposed to have $55 million held in reserve. We don't have a dollar in reserve in any accounts. If we have money, it's I doubt that it would amount to anything substantial, and I'm pretty sure we don't have any money in an unreserved balance fund. So that, if you add the 32 with the 55, that's $87 million that should be available to run the city, correct?
So, Mike, do you actually, let me ask you a question, because the inspector general looks for waste, fraud, and abuse, and they were invited by Brian Gomes, and Brian Gomes was the initiator, and all the rest of the city councilors went along with Brian, but do you really think, and I'm asking this seriously, that he's going to find some fraud or real abuse within the system?
Well, when you have earmarked money, it's against the state and federal law to move it from one department to another, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's a broad category, but yes.
Well, that's probably what he's going to find.
That what?
That money's been moved around from one department to another. and that it's...
But you can move money around from department to department. It's called a transfer. City Council does it at the initiation of the mayor all the time.
Right. But if it's earmarked, you can do that?
Well, I'll give you an example. The latest one, Senator Montaigne got $500,000 for the Tarquin Hill Street Fire Station, right? We all know about that.
Yeah, for 3 months. Yeah.
Well, you asked about earmark. It is earmarked. Yeah. It is in the language of the appropriation, $500,000 for the use of fire and fire personnel, fire equipment personnel at that station. So, yeah, that money has to be used for the Tarquin Hill Fire Station.
Well, that's what the Inspector General will be checking out. If there's money that was given that's earmarked, if it's been moved around. And I'm not so sure. And I mean, it's kind of funny that we don't have any money. And I think the city council understands that there's an issue here, or they wouldn't have gone ahead unanimously, correct?
Well, I mean, seems obvious that they believe that. They don't really, but could it be that they don't really know what's going on? Maybe.
Yeah. But anyways, I think there's something to it. And because why are we so broke? Well, I know why we're broke, because we're spending money that we don't have. Our revenue sources are only $190.5 million. And we have a $550 million operating budget. You can't keep counting on state and federal aid to balance your budget. And that's what's happened. The last time we had a balanced budget, I think Scott Lang had it 1 year, a balanced budget. But Fred Kalish was the last guy to have the revenues match the budget. So we're in a pickle here. You'd agree, right?
Mike, let me ask you a question. What do you, because I know you're a multifaceted character. Mike, what do you think of that shooting in the city last night? Are we going to have a bloody summer, or is it just an isolated case? What do you think, Mike Jansen?
Well, I think that things in the past, you know, many years ago, that was tit for tat, was gang wars. And I think that's over. I think it was an isolated... I hope it's over.
Right.
I don't see it being... It could be, you know, a couple people, but I don't think it's as widespread as it was years ago when that was a tit-for-tat thing, South Bend against West Bend. You know, I don't think it's anything like that, and I don't think it'll ever be anything like that. So, yeah, I would think that it's isolated. It's not a tit-for-tat thing like it. It was many years ago, but we'll find out.
Mike, you were always kind of on the ball with all that stuff about who the different shooters were and some of these still unsolved crimes.
I used to put out reward posters when Bunny DePina got shot. Remember that?
I do. It's amazing that has never really been solved.
One of the people, I won't mention his name, I'm not supposed to mention name here, they pulled him out of the car and shot him. One of the gangs got the person, but there was two people involved. And one was a woman.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, and she got away with it, yeah.
They didn't get her
one
later?
One of the people, no, they never... got up with her. I don't know where she is now. She was in jail. I won't mention her name. But the guy they pulled out of the car was a West End guy. and they got him. They pulled him out and shot him, the South End gang. But I don't think we're going to see any more of that. I think that's all over. It's been done with. I don't think there's going to be any tit-for-tat gang violence ever again like that.
I think that's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
I think New Bedford, in that respect, has straightened out. But there's a lot of other things going on here that need to be addressed.
Mike, I appreciate your phone call. I appreciate your contribution to the program. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back more here on the program. Open phones, guys. If it's on your mind, something's happening out there. I did think that shooting was, anytime someone gets shot, it's a big deal, obviously. And thank God for the New Bedford police, right? And all the men and women of the local police departments as well. They all do a great job. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. We're talking about whatever's on your mind. The news, I don't know if you were listening to Tim. I know sometimes you can. I listen to Tim in the morning when I'm getting ready, preparing for the program. But I know a lot of us have different schedules. So if you missed Tim's program, obviously you can check out the podcast. It's free. It's available, just like there's a podcast of this program. But I was really interested to hear his interview with Ambassador Alan Leventhal, who's in town today. I thought Tim did a wonderful interview with him. It's a big deal when an ambassador comes to town. It's a major big deal. I remember reading an old interview with the ambassador to Cuba. Smith had stopped when he got out of Cuba. He stopped at the New Bedford Standard Times to interview with the editorial board and talk with him. He later wrote a book. That ambassador. So it's a big deal when a former ambassador tours your area, meets with local media people. This time it was Tim. Big deal. I think it's a big deal. Now, many of us are familiar with the Leventhal name because of Beacon Hill, or Beacon Capital, the real estate business. Very, very successful company. Has a real estate firm, now Beacon Capital Partners, formerly known as Beacon Properties Corporation. I'm not sure whether they're the same corporation, but he was the past president and chief executive officer of Beacon Properties, okay? Now, my recollection, that's a publicly traded company. They merged with Equity Office Properties back in the 90s. It's a big deal. And for the ambassador to be here in town, he was the ambassador of the Kingdom of Denmark. So I guess he won't be meeting with any of the No Kings protesters, right? He literally was the ambassador under President Obama. Oh, was it Obama or was it Biden? No, it was Biden. So we got some questions for the ambassador probably about Biden. Although he was in Europe while Biden was in outer space. But nonetheless, he very accomplished guy. Extraordinarily accomplished. And a giver back, this Mr. Leventhal, to a lot of stuff in the city of Boston. What I thought was particularly interesting about Mr. Ambassador Leventhal's visit to the New Bedford area is that I only counted one elected official that he was meeting with. Okay? I listened closely because I'm in the shower when Tim was having his interview with the ambassador. And I listened closely. I counted only one elected official that Ambassador Leventhal, a wealthy, wealthy businessman and a Democrat, right? I thought Obama had appointed him to be the ambassador of the Kingdom of Denmark, but I have the notes here, and it was actually President Biden who appointed him. But nonetheless, he's obviously a Democrat, and but he seems like a normal guy, right? And only one elected official, though, is meeting with the ambassador. That's Representative Chris Markey, candidate for district attorney, friend of the program. He's the only elected official that this ambassador is meeting with. He's meeting with a lot of other important people in the community. Don't get me wrong. It's probably in his best interest to keep his schedule limited to only one elected official, right? How many pictures can you pose for as an ambassador? But he's got a lot of other really important people he's meeting with locally, including Jay Lanigan. Jay, of course, a real estate guy and restaurateur, right? Owns Rosalie. Been involved in a lot of restaurants in the city, in the region, really. So it's nice to see that the ambassador is representing, when he comes down, is looking for people who have real information, right? And what do you think? You think this ambassador is here to, he doesn't have a book, so he's not here to sell books. He's deeply interested in improving public education. I know that. And he's really interested in the innovation economy. So, but only had time for who I predict will be the next district attorney of Bristol County, Chris Markey. Only had time to meet, as far as elected officials go, with State Representative Chris Markey, the future, in my opinion, district attorney of Bristol County. So I think that's very, very interesting, right? That the ambassador is only coming down here to meet with a lot of community representatives, but only one of them is an elected official. So really, really interesting development there. All right, 508-996-0500. I know he's meeting with Mark Parsons from New Bedford Robotics, they're doing a lot of work at the old Glazer Glass. If you travel that way, you go by, you can see the construction going on. Mark Parsons, who the mayor selected for his expertise in robotics and his past work, and made a significant contribution with ARPA funds to New Bedford Robotics to try to get an innovation economy going here, right? In terms of the scope of robotics, the investment that the mayor made was a nominal amount of money in terms of the potential upside. It was a lot of money, but it was a nominal amount of money when you look at the robotics economy and certainly the potential for the robotics economy. In the innovation, right? That's part of innovation, the innovation economy. And that's what this former ambassador of the Kingdom of Denmark is all about, all about intervention. And by the way, he's got money. And that's what you need, too. You need money. So, among the people he'll be meeting with, Fred Dabney, member of the Agricultural Land Preservation Committee, former owner of Quonset Nurseries out in South Dartmouth. Beautiful place, Quonset Nurseries. But my point is that this really looks like the ambassador is coming to New Bedford to meet Chris Markey and all the people that Chris Markey selected to meet with the ambassador. So it's really interesting, right? I mean, you got Jeff Pontiff. You see Jeff signs all over the place for commercial and residential real estate, right? Gail Forts from the YMCA. Steve Canessa, a former state representative, great football player out at Aponequid High School, grew up in Lakeville, now lives in the city of New Bedford, was a state representative. And of course, he's a real important part of South Coast Health, right? Steve Canessa. So in other words, it's really good that we're getting this sort of outside attention from a man who used to represent the United States of America in the Kingdom of Denmark. I mean, just a very accomplished guy. So I'm glad to see that New Bedford, greater New Bedford, certainly Bristol County, is being recognized. I mean, look, the guy is coming down. Right now, he doesn't have a political campaign going. But he's got serious money. He's interested in public policy. He got to the level where the President of the United States, regardless of party, happened to be Joe Biden, appointed him to represent you and me, the United States of America, in the halls of European kingdoms. That's a big deal. And you don't get there without significant background checks and all of that. So, do we think Ambassador Alan Leventhal could be building a political campaign in the future? Right? Is he building today for tomorrow? After all, the guy's big time in real estate and big time in politics. So he understands you got to have a roadmap. You got to have people on the ground. You got to really understand communities. So I think he's making a really solid move by getting together with Representative Chris Markey, a middle of the road, normal Democrat, who was, by the way, endorsed by Republican Charlie Baker when he ran for re-election last time around. So if you're looking for a guy who can get along with both sides of the aisle, and that's obviously what the ambassador is looking for, someone who can show him the roadmap, show him the way around here. Looks like he's found him in Chris Markey. But I think it's a very interesting development. Not simply a tremendous honor to have a former ambassador who represented us at the appointment of the president come to the area, but also the fact that he's meeting with people like Jay Lanigan and Gail Forts, all kinds of people that we all know. We interact with. Listen, I saw Jay Lanigan yesterday when I was sitting on the deck at Rose Alley with two friends of mine, right? Gary and Gina. We went to Rose Alley for lunch yesterday, and Jay Lanigan's always on the ground, so he's at his business. So I had an opportunity to speak to Jay yesterday. And today, this morning, throughout the day, he'll be with the former ambassador to Denmark. So great things are happening for this area. 508-996-0500. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's a beautiful day out there. I hope you're enjoying it. And need a little walking around money? Clean up your yard, get some walking around money. Turn your junk car into cash today at Mid-City Scrap in Westport. We pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Mid-City Scrap in Westport. We will pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Got a small car, $400 to $500 in cash. Mid to large size car, $500 to $600 in cash. SUVs, up to $700. Full size truck, up to $800 in cash. No games, no waiting, just fast cash. Very simple. Call Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug at 508-675-7831. Again, call Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug at 508-675-7831. Mid-City Scrap, cash for junk cars, State Road in Westport. Great little company. So, yesterday I had Tim Dunning from the Boston Herald. He's a great guy, great reporter. And talking about the main race for the U.S. Senate. It has been such an important story because I think a lot of people overlook it at how important the U.S. Senate is. I remember once, years ago now, he's passed away now, but a very successful business guy in this community said to me, Chris, I was a young guy, said, you have no idea how much power a U.S. senator has. He said, you just can't even comprehend it. And he said, until I saw it up close, I had no idea how much power they have. So the idea that we are going to, or rather the people of Maine, are going to elect with the influence of our elected officials in the Democrat Party. This guy Plattner to the U.S. Senate is so disturbing to me personally. And by the way, I was with the former mayor of New Bedford, Scott Lang, as I usually am on Saturday afternoons. He goes out of his way to make sure he's available to pick me up and take me home from dialysis treatments. He's, you know, just tremendous. All right. And that's a great opportunity for me to speak with one of the most experienced Democrats in the country. Okay. He and I are in total agreement. You cannot even think about supporting somebody who has a Nazi tattoo on their body. I don't care how bad you may think Donald Trump is. Okay? When someone tattoos a symbol of one of the most horrendous criminal groups, because that's what the Nazis were. They were criminals, murderers. And you decide to put a symbol of that regime on your body? Well, you've really, and you leave it there for what, 12, 18 years? It wasn't just a drunken night, right? It wasn't like the Hangover movie, right? Where I think someone got a tattoo, and you know, it was a wild movie, The Hangover, right? It wasn't like some dumb tattoo that you got in a drunken night, and that then you quickly, you know, sobered up and thought it was ridiculous and got it removed or tattooed over. I mean, that happens all the time. This guy left a tattoo of Adolf Hitler's Nazi regime on his body for at least a decade, maybe close to two decades. And now, people like Governor Healey, Liz Warren, Ed Markey, and many of you, Bernie Sanders, think that the guy should be a United States senator? We talked about it last Thursday. They're very experienced, very knowledgeable. Selectman Lenny Mills from Rehoboth. Then he drove me over to dialysis, actually, that day. And there's what used to be a house, but it's now a coffee shop. But it still looks like a house. Right across the street, when you're going through the Shaw's parking lot, right? If you're coming out of Shaw's, you know what I'm talking about. It's a fun little coffee shop right there. But it looks like a house, okay? And Lenny points at the house to me, because we're talking about Platina, right? And we're driving. Lenny points at the house. What looks like a house is now a coffee shop. And he said to me, the guy has told us who he is, Platina, with a Nazi tattoo. Why? What are we going to do? We're going to wait till we have real Nazis running into houses like that and people are hiding in the attic and hiding in the basement? And it was such a heartfelt and dramatic example, right? He's pointing at a house saying, oh, people are going to be hiding in that attic, hiding in the basement. We all know the story of Anne Frank. You know, there were lots of people with Nazi tattoos, but there had to be one person first, right? There had to be an original. There had to be an original. You can't ignore it. You certainly cannot embrace it. And if you do, what does that say about you? Look, I voted for Governor Healey. You know that. I've confessed it multiple times. How can she take the authority that you and I lent her? Because I know I'm not alone in this. She won the election. And she takes that honor and authority that we've given her temporarily, and she lends it to an out-of-state campaign with a Nazi. Don't you feel betrayed? Look, Governor Healey had lost me already because of her policies. I think she's lost a lot of you, quite frankly, because of her really bad decisions and policies. And maybe this Nazi thing, supporting a guy with a who had a Nazi tattoo on his body. And look, the guy's had a lot of bad behavior, things like that. But that's not new in American politics, quite frankly. But you know what is? Supporting someone, outwardly supporting totalitarianism and racial violence like the Nazi Party. Someone else tried that way back down in Louisiana. A guy named David Duke. David Duke got elected to the state legislature in Louisiana. Then he tried to get advanced into the federal Congress, right? He wanted to run for the House of Representatives out of Louisiana. The Republican Party totally, at the national level, rejected that. The normal Republicans of Louisiana, the other elected Republicans mostly, totally rejected trying to elect a Nazi. The President of the United States, George H.W. Bush, came out fiercely against David Duke being elected to Congress. Because he recognized you can't let people like that, even if they agree with you on some issues. Like if you're a Nazi, but you happen to agree with me on tax policy, I can't overlook the fact that you're a Nazi. We've seen this before. And how did David Duke not advance into real power? Because other people with real credibility wouldn't accept him, would not accept him. And that was always the tradition here in America. That, you know, if you join a radical group, support the viewpoints of a real radical group like the Nazis, the communists, which, by the way, Plattner embraces both, or did in a way at different points in his life, you just weren't able to build enough support within established political parties for those sort of views. It was just understood. Totally understood. But now we have Governor Healey from Massachusetts, a Democrat, and Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Ed Markey, all getting together to support somebody who supported one of the most, obviously supported one of the most murderous regimes. And we're all supposed to, at least if you're a Democrat, you're supposed to overlook that and support the guy. I think many, many people need to join with Lenny Mills and Scott Lang in saying that, no, when you do something like that, you're disqualified from getting the office of a U.S. senator. And I don't really understand what's wrong with Maura Healey. I really don't. I can think of a million ways she could have avoided this controversy. Starting with, I've got a tough re-election, whether she thinks it's tough or not. And so I got to stay in my own lane here getting re-elected in Massachusetts. Or the fact that my state has some of the highest electrical costs, some of the highest costs of living, and I really don't look like I've done anything about it. In addition to, I've got all kinds of scandals, like pounds of cocaine in the Western State House. And an employee on former employee on trial. I can't get involved in the main Senate race. That's an easy out, right? But she didn't. And now she's wants all of you financially who live here in Massachusetts. That was the function of Graham Plattner sending his campaign to the convention. By the way, as Tim Dunn told us, they're now trying to claim they didn't know anything about it. Wouldn't surprise me because they have the likes of Maria G. Esther, Sleep at the Switch, Shane Burgo, leader of the Shane Dunistas, on the Democrat State Committee that obviously let Graham Plattner's campaign come in. Outrageous, really. But the only reason he was there was to support volunteers because Maine's only right up the road and financially money transfers very easily. So we are the third largest donor geographically to Graham Plattner's campaign, the state of Massachusetts. I think every Democrat at the local level should get on the record. You can do whatever you want. But if I was a local Democrat running for any office, I would, because normally you wouldn't have to, all right? You're in Massachusetts, you're running for whatever, right? State representative, state senator, district attorney. But because you're all on the Healey ticket, I think every one of you has to get a public notice out there that you distance yourself from Graham Plattner, that you as a Massachusetts Democrat do not support Graham Plattner like the governor. Because if you don't, silence means you do, okay? Unless you come out with a statement, and I'm happy to read it, every one of them, because I understand how big of a deal this is and how important it is that the historic record contain absolute truth. Right? If you're running for whatever, and you happen to be a loyal, God-fearing member of the Democrat Party, that the leader of your party, the whole leadership team, is complicit in endorsing, supporting Graham Platinum. If I was a local Democrat, state representative, state senator, any of that, city councilor, I would make a public statement. I would get it to the media that you don't have to support the incumbent Republican up there. Certainly you don't. But that you get on the record that you do not support Graham Platinum. Because otherwise, I think going forward, you all have the potential to be labeled that. Because silence means you support the governor of your party. And obviously, Graham Platinum, the Nazi. Guy with a Nazi tattoo. It's really something you got to get away from. Particularly if you're an elected Democrat. Take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's a beautiful day out there, but you can really feel that heat starting to come with us. They'll be like this till what? October? Only hotter, right? So if your AC is making strange noises or struggling to keep up with the mounting heat, give Columbus Energies a call before we get too deep into that heat season, right? A quick summer tune-up will keep your AC running cooler, quieter, and longer. Save you money in the long run, right? Thinking about upgrading your AC, right? That air conditioning system, give Columbus Energies a call. Columbus Energies installs systems that are sized